This world shall know pain. Almighty push!
Everybody hands up! Matasana kilo the comeback! Tuzo kato e yubi on the countdown! Iku ze 3, 2, 1, make the noise!
Oh, welcome in everybody to Amalgamation Nation for Weebisode number 11, the Naruto Shippuden edition. Believe it! We're going to get in our thoughts on Naruto Shippuden, well, and really Naruto in general. When we started doing Weebisodes, we said, when I finished Shippuden, I finished it all the way through, we would do it. So I finished it about a month ago, so we're going to do this episode. It's going to be super, super sweet. As always, you can listen to all of our other episodes, the other 10 Weebisodes, the sports shows, the gaming shows, everything in between, by searching Amalgamation Nation on your podcast platform of choice, such as Spotify, Google, Apple, etc. On Twitter and Instagram, follow us. It's at AmNationPod. On YouTube, search Amalgamation Nation and hit that sub button. For merch, if you're listening on podcast platforms, which you are, you can go down right in the episode description, and it's right there to get your merch and all that jazz. Also on Twitch, follow us, twitch.tv/UndeadRedBull, and hit them with a sub as well. If you have Amazon, you have Amazon Prime, which means you get a free sub each month on Twitch, so go ahead and give it to Undead Red Bull. If you're looking for when we're recording live, that's Tuesdays and Thursdays around 7:30 p.m. Central Time. Tuesdays, the sports shows. Thursdays, the gaming one. And you can find that on our Twitter, at AmNationPod, on YouTube, on Facebook, and on twitch.tv/UndeadRedBull. Joining me this evening for the Naruto Shippuden episode, Guadalupe Homo Yorlon Esquivel. Hello, Junior.
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, it's Peachy, brah. Peachy, how are you?
I'm doing mighty fine.
Oh, yeah. Mighty, not mighty fine. Oh, mighty, mighty fine. Mighty fine. And rounding out the trio, we've got Big Papa fucking Sunshine himself, Monster Hunter Mike. Mike, how are you?
Hi. I'm here.
You hanging in
there? I'm a little tired, but I'm here.
There you go. There you go. You're running through like 7 different things of caffeine. I think you'll be all right.
I'm drinking my G Fuel right now. Ooh. See if that gets me up.
What flavor?
It's Battle Juice, I think it's called.
Oh,
it's like pineapple-ish. Pineapple-y-ish.
Ooh, I've never tried that. I might have to put that on my list. They got new Mortal Kombat flavors coming too, so check that out.
Use our code Amalgamation Nation and you get nothing off.
Yeah, you get 0 off, but you like go ahead and use it anyway. And I'm
use it anyway.
Just use it. Like, it's cool. Just use AM Nation Pod on whatever site you're on, and they'll be like, what is this? And then eventually they'll reach out to us. So, like, it's cool.
Yep. Eventually they'll be like, hey, what the fuck's going on?
Like, you got, like, 12 people coming in here with this guy.
Solid 12.
It's a solid 12 every time. Oh, shit. Of course, I'm the anime watching. Swole Team 6 flexing. Garage Guys sleeping. Olivia Munn's liking. John Cena's following. Hostess with the mostest himself. Ryan Green Machine Ebner. Now, on the last Weebisode, before we left, Mike said, I have one question that we're going to answer on this show, and that is your top 3 favorite characters. So that's how we're going to start this Naruto Shippuden. I also want to point out, it's a little different. Like, we've done Evangelion. We've done Cowboy Bebop. Those are shows that were small, one seasons, compact. We were able to, like, there was, like, a clear story that we were able to go through and make notes on. We're not doing that this time. We weren't doing that for 700 episodes worth of Naruto. Like, there's just no possible way that I was going to sit here and be like, let's make notes for each character and each story. And, like, no, we weren't doing that. So let's start with top 3 favorite characters. Mike, what are your 3 favorite characters from Naruto?
Definitely Jiraiya. Jiraiya is the fucking goat. He's got to be there. Itachi. Itachi is, out of these 3, I would say he's my top favorite character.
Oh.
So he's the number 1. My last one in this pick would be Minato.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's go. Why is Itachi your favorite?
Why is Itachi my favorite? Just because everything, man. He's just OP as shit. Ever since he was like the little, he's just on top of everything. Mm-hmm. With everything he does. And towards the end, even though he was not at his full strength or nothing, like, I don't know if it was towards the end or the middle, I don't know, I watched this show a long time ago. Mm-hmm. But he was still one of the strongest characters in the whole show.
Right.
Even though he was fucking dying and you know, the whole time.
Yeah, he had ninja AIDS.
Yeah, ninja AIDS. I was going to say ninja cancer, but okay.
Uchiha cancer is what it was.
Oh, Jesus yeah. Christ.
Yeah, he's just so fucking OP. He's the coolest.
He's the dopest dope ever, bro. No, yeah, Itachi is really sweet. He really is. But that's a good point that even towards, like, so when he had that his final fight while he's alive with Sasuke and he was basically dying, he was still fucking Sasuke up. And, like, I obviously one of the coolest moments you always see anime fans talk about is the Sasuke thinking he killed him, and then he looks up at him and points his finger the opposite direction. He's just sitting on the throne. Yeah. Oh, shit, bro. Oh, okay. Yeah, no, Itachi, super, super dope. Junior, what are your three favorite characters?
All right, so the first two that he mentioned are the same with me. You got Jiraiya and Itachi. So, I mean, those two characters, every episode they're in, OP as fuck. You know something serious going down. You know they're going to fucking kick ass. Yeah, except for Jiraiya's last fight, but we'll get into that later. Mm-hmm. Then my third character would be Asuma. I mean, he's one of the most, like, I feel like he's one of the most underrated characters. But the fact that he's able to use the wind nature chakra as efficiently as he was able to, and he was the son of the Hokage, he kind of had, like, a lot of similar aspects as what, I guess, Naruto in a way kind of felt like, you know, not having a parent around and things like that. He was kind of in the same boat because Sarutobi, you know, was always working and shit like that. They didn't really have time for him, but he learned to cope with it. Whereas Naruto really didn't have, you know, that option to cope, you know, to be able to learn it. He just couldn't because obviously his dad's gone. Mm-hmm. But he was also kind of a little bit of a mentor to Naruto in learning how to use wind nature and all that. So then that's how Naruto was able to develop his, you know, Rasengan and his Rasen Shuriken later on in the show. And the fact that he, you know, was the leader for, I think it was Team 6?
Let me see. Asuma is, I want to say Team 9, but I don't think that's right.
I can't remember.
They're Team 10.
Okay, so Team 10. Okay, so he mentored, you know, Shikamaru, Ino, and Choji. Mm-hmm. And later on in the show, those three, you know, become, like, even though they're side characters, they become, like, part of the main cast, you know, so that just shows how much, you know, of a big impact he was to them three. And real quick, I want to mention one of the best fights I've seen with him in it was after he got reanimated and he fought the three of them. It has to be, like, one of the saddest fights, but at the same time, one of the most epic fights ever, because you just feel so much raw emotion coming from all four characters.
Yeah, 100%. I remember as I was watching this, and I would document, like, or if something cool, what crazy happened, I would, like, Snapchat. I remember Snapchatting Mike when Asuma dies, and I'm like, no. Mike's like, Dad, they got Asuma's my boy. And I was like, oh shit, man. Like, and I, you know what's so crazy? I thought about it too when Naruto was learning chakra natures, and they're like, oh, wind chakra, oh, Asuma, and I'm like, man, that's so weird, like, this dude hasn't done shit for however many episodes, they don't show you Asuma doing a whole lot, I'm like, now he's playing a big role, and I'm like, oh, no, I feel like he's gonna die, and he did, I'm like, oh, son of a bitch, but yeah, Asuma, low-key, very underrated character, very, very, at least he's not like Koronai, who's like, let me use a fucking genjutsu on Itachi. Some stupid shit, bro.
Just get boned.
Right? They're like, why would you do that? Why would you even think that that was a good idea? Christ. My top three favorite characters, of course, is Naruto Uzumaki, believe it, Kakashi, and Minato. Minato is one that I think is super interesting because until, well, yeah, really until he gets reanimated, like you get to see like some of the things he did a little bit through filler episodes, but they don't go all full on in. But then like when you get to learn about like, you get to see his fight with, which we come to find out is Obito, like that was really cool. But then all of his stuff that he does when he's reanimated is just so cool. I mean, one of the best for me is he gets his arm blown off and he's still doing signs with one hand. Like, I just think that's fucking sweet. Kakashi, obviously, just because Kakashi Sensei plays such a pivotal role in the development of Naruto and the development of Sasuke. I mean, Sakura too, but not as much. And, everything that he goes through, and you like, what I'm a big fan of the show in general is that they use these teams, from the current teams and the past teams, and there's so much, correlations between them, right? Like, people always say Kakashi is the Sasuke that didn't lose hope, and continues to push forward, whereas like Obito and Naruto, they're the opposites and stuff like that. I guess Rin and Sakura are opposites too, because one's alive and one's not. I don't know. I guess, but you know, that's how that one. And then Naruto, like no one said it, but I'm gonna say Naruto.
The other one was useful. The other one kind of useful.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, useful getting killed, dog. I don't know. I don't know, bro. Just yeah. And then, Naruto Uzumaki, bro. Like the dude. I always talk about why I never started Naruto before is because when I was younger and that started to come on the Toonami block, I went from Goku to that, and I'm like, this kid's annoying, bro. Like, I cannot do this. I don't want to watch this. Fuck that. And then I went on the journey, and it was great. And Naruto is such a compelling character of everything that he's been dealt with, and to be able to work his ass off and be able to reach the level that he has. And I haven't watched Boruto yet, but I've heard he does more forms that are also just dummy OP. So, like, that's super dope, too. But, yeah, I'm just a huge, huge fan of Naruto. The character in general, so that's definitely my numero uno. But I wanted to put Jiraiya, I really did, but I put Minato ahead of him instead, but that was close. But I do love Jiraiya, boy. It's always good. Let's see, let's bounce around here. Let's, Junior, what's the saddest death to you?
Bro, you really gotta ask that?
Well, I mean, there are multiple. I mean, I know mine, but some people are different.
Well, in case nobody, I mean, we've already gotten into it, we've described some of the characters, we've described some of the moments. For any new listeners and all that, this is all spoilers.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
100% yeah, spoilers.
Yeah.
If you haven't tuned out already and you want to watch the show, here's your fair warning. Do not continue to listen, because what I'm about to say right now is going to be a major spoiler, and it will probably ruin the whole show for you.
True, true. You got 5 seconds. 5, 4, 3... 2, 1. Thanks for the listen. Yeah. All right, Junior, you're in.
If you're still here, saddest death for me has got to be Jiraiya.
Mm.
I mean, I love Asuma. He was, you know, like I said, you know, I listed him as one of my favorite characters, whatever. His death really hit me hard, you know, when he passed away fighting Hidan. Because the whole time I'm thinking to myself, like, something's got to happen for him to survive. Something. And, like, the show was like, nope. They play the sad music and all that. He ends up passing away. I was like, fuck, that sucks.
Hmm.
But with Jiraiya, it's not as much as that you didn't see it coming. It was just that you were hoping so hard that it did not happen. I mean, he is one of the strongest characters in the whole entire show. He's one of the members of the Legendary Sannin. And if you don't know what the Legendary Sannin are, it's a title bestowed upon them by someone that's either as strong or stronger than you. So when they were fighting the Kage of the Rain, I think it was during the Second War, them three gave him the fight of his life, he mentioned. So he felt that it was, you know, best to bestow that title to them. And from henceforth, you know, they became, as the Legendary Sannin, they became the three ninjas that were the strongest, which was Jiraiya, Orochimaru, and Tsunade. So when he fought Pain, and the saddest part about it, too, is that Pain was one of the kids that he rescued during that exact same fight and war.
Mm-hmm.
So for Pain to be reanimated and go after the village and all that, Jiraiya finding out what's going on, and then trying to confront him, trying to appeal to his emotions, like, you don't have to do this. I know there's a way, you know, we can work around it. I know that I kind of abandoned you type of deal after I taught you how to fight for yourselves, but it was necessary. I mean, he has his own job to do and everything. He can't just, you know, keep taking care of the kids, because they weren't, first off, they're not his kids. And then second off, they're not part of his village either.
Right.
If they were part of his village, nobody would have batted an eye. But because they're part of a different war or a different village, all going through war, it's kind of like training the enemy. You know, if the village would have found out, they all would have been, you know, branded as traitors type of deal. Mm-hmm. That's why he taught them on the side, you know, kind of quietly. So for him to try to fight him and try to appeal to his emotions, trying to get him to stop and all that, and then Payne's like, no, fuck this, time for talk is over. They start fighting and everything. Payne, he's able to, like, fucking summon all these fucking creatures. Some of the other fucking members of the Akatsuki that were, like, in the background that you didn't even know about yet start appearing, and they all just gang up on him and just... I mean, give credit to Jiraiya. He fucking kicked some ass, like, going up against 6 or 7 different members.
The 6 paths of pain, yeah.
Yeah, going all up against them all at once. But then he starts getting hit with those rods that seal away your chakra. You know, the first one went into his shoulder. Second one goes into his leg. Third one goes into his left knee. And then that last one that goes through his chest. And it was like, God damn. And the whole entire time, sad music's playing.
That's when you know.
Yeah, he falls into the water. Fucking blood is just coming out of his mouth and ears. And he's just slowly drifting down to the bottom. Like, God.
And he was still able to, in that moment, get that message out to help them with their fight against Pain. Yeah.
Dude, like, one other show has made me feel that way, and that was Your Lie in April.
Oh, that's a sad one.
That's how sad that moment for me was. I had to pause it, and I had to pace back and forth for a bit, trying to catch my emotions. I was like, damn, like, my number one character just got killed. Like,
super sad. Super sad. Mike, what is your saddest death of Naruto?
I would say I'm right there with Mex, Jiraiya.
Yeah.
Jiraiya's got to be the one, man. It's just... It's just so heart-wrenching, dude. Like, it literally took me, like, 3 tries to actually finish that episode. I could not get past it.
Wow.
Not just the fight itself, but towards the end.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when his throat is crushed, and then, like, his heart is failing, and he realizes he's fucking dying, and he recalls, like, you know, his life, like, everything, like being rejected by Tsunade, and Minato, and then how they wanted to name make him Naruto's godfather, and mm-hmm. name him after one of Jiraiya's characters in his novels and stuff. Like, mm-hmm. everything hits you so hard, just it's just gut wrenching, man. and you're right, he went out like a fucking champ, dude, using his finger carving seal to write that coded message about Pain's true identity, even though he couldn't say shit because his fucking throat's crushed.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I remember, like, finishing it and going on YouTube and sites and stuff. It's like, no, we did not see a fucking body. Nobody's dead until you see a fucking body, because, you know, he floated down there, and who was it who couldn't find his fucking body?
It's Kabuto. Yep.
Kabuto, that's his fucking name.
We were doing the reanimations.
Yeah. So everybody was like, no, there's no body. There's no body. He's still alive. He's got to still be alive. Nobody wanted to accept it. I didn't.
It's called denial.
It was just a punch in the gut, man. It was just like, is the worst. Like I said, it took me forever to finish it just because I couldn't get through it. And I finished it. I got through it that episode, and I was like, I can't watch this for a while.
Sorry to interrupt you, but the other part that makes it even more sad is, like, how Mike said he's, you know, doing his, you know, flashbacks, because they say your life flashes before you when you're dying.
Yeah.
And the fact that his last meeting with Tsunade was him making fun of her gambling habits or whatever, and saying that every bet that she makes is always wrong, right? So then, you know, she tells him, well, you know, if that's right, then I bet, you know, that you... I would bet that you would die, but that just sounds, you know, horrible. So I'm not going to bet. I just want you to come back safe. And it was like, that's the last moment that they have together.
Yeah, when he's remembered. Like, dude, I'm getting goosebumps just talking about this. It is just, it's so fucking,
like, it was such an intimate moment. Because like Mike said, you know, she knew about his feelings for her.
Mm-hmm.
But she felt like she didn't deserve love or whatever because of all of her history, you know, with the past boyfriend that she had or whatever and all the shit that's happened. So she kind of always kept him as a best friend. And he was okay with that. He was cool. He was like, I'm perfectly fine being in the friend zone as long as I'm next to you. And then that moment, like I said, it was such an intimate moment that you would think that he would come back alive so that they can finally be together. And it just never meant to be.
Yeah.
The worst is, like, as he's passing away, he's like, Naruto is the true child of prophecy. Now, like, his sequel novel would be titled The Tale of Naruto Uzumaki. I was like, no!
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's so, man. Yeah. It, no doubt for me, it's also the saddest death is Jiraiya. Like, I know a lot of people, I see people like hate on it, and they're like, oh. I'm like, I just feel like that's like the hipster anime fan thing to do, where, like, you know, like, oh, I can't like Jiraiya's death. I like Itachi's death. I'm like, yes. Yes, I love Itachi dying from ninja AIDS. That's my favorite. It's my favorite death. Like, no, Jiraiya's is just, there's so much of a gut wrench to it, because, like, the fight starts and it's like, it's so cool. He goes out there in sage mode and you're like, okay. And then he starts getting his ass beat and you're like, oh shit. Okay, something's got to happen. Like, Tsunade sent another team. Like, just, like, something's going to go down. And then nothing goes down, and he just dies. And it's so, so sad. And, like, telling the filler episodes in between of Jiraiya the Gallant, and it's just, it's so incredibly heartbreaking. Indeed. Yeah, that is hands down the saddest death for me in this series, too, because it's just... Boy, it is rough. I remember getting to that part. I was just feeling so sad. I'm like, I still have like 300 episodes to go. And also, what's so interesting about you guys both putting Jiraiya and Itachi in your top three favorite characters, what made me think of it is that. So, like, if I play the intro, you guys will know what I'm talking about right away. Those two die within like 5 episodes of each other. And that's so crazy to me. Like, you get through, I want to say it's Itachi's, I think, first. And he does his thing, and then, like, they do Jiraiya's right after that, and he dies. And it's pretty insane, and Asuma's not too far behind them either. So I think almost all of them die within, like, a good 30 to 50 episodes of around each other, which is pretty crazy. That, like, those are three, you know, pretty sizable characters that they just wrote off very...
Yeah, so Shippuden pretty much did a GOT on me. They're like, oh, these are your favorite characters? Fuck you, they're dead now.
Yeah, they did. They for sure did. Like, dead. Let's see. Favorite moments. Mike, I'll start with you.
Oh, okay. damn, now you got me all flustered here with that talk about Jiraiya. So for me, my favorite moment is the Naruto v. Sasuke fight. Not like the... not one of the last ones when they were like all super fucking strong and shit. It's just when they were still, you know, high schoolers pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Middle school.
Yeah. When Sasuke wants to defect from the village. Because he had the curse mark, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So he wants to go and go to Orochimaru and seek out all more power and stuff so he can, you know, beat his big brother. So Naruto is like, nah, dude, like, I will break your arms and legs and drag you back to the village if I have to. You know, just because he's his fucking best friend.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't want him to go in and join this fucking Al-Qaeda fucking terrorist group.
That man said Al-Qaeda.
So, you know, at first fucking Naruto has him. They're fighting, whatever. Sasuke gets the upper hand, and I think he, okay, I watched this so long ago, it was because he Didn't he... I'm trying to remember. Damn it, you should have called me second.
Naruto's in Ninetales. He opened some of his Ninetale chakra.
Yeah, but that was afterwards when Sasuke took the fight first, remember?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Didn't he unlock, like, his eyes, like, the second part of his eyes, or third? Like, the third. Full power?
Yeah.
Yeah, so he was getting the advantage. And he fucking pile drives this man. He pile drives Naruto. Pretty much knocks him out. Then Naruto, you know, has his chat with his fox buddy. He's like, hey, yo, we gotta do something here, or we're gonna get our ass beat. So he unlocks even more power. They just go all out, dude. It starts out being this fucking crazy fight. Towards the end, they're both just shit. Both of them just beat to hell and back. I love this fight so much because of the atmosphere of it. What I mean by that is, like, there is absolutely no sound, no music, no nothing, no ambience, no birds chirping, no nothing. Dead fucking silent. Dead quiet if you watch the fight. And all you could hear is, like, the punches of these two just totally exhausted fucking dudes, just fully broken down, pretty much on their knees, just going at each other, still trying to fight, and Naruto trying to keep his friend in the village. And, you know, at the end, they're just both beat to shit. They're literally crawling and groveling towards each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it's dead fucking quiet. And just the whole atmosphere of it. That's what makes it my favorite.
It is. It is pretty dope.
Part of the show. And it's just like a whole big turning point for the show. Because in the beginning, towards up to this point, it's just been about this little village and these guys. And then it does a 180, and it just goes beyond anything from that point forward of anything that has been happening up until that point, both in power level and in storytelling.
It's a very good point. Yeah, it's pretty much the end of Naruto, and it sets up Shippuden and what's going to happen, and then Naruto going off to train with Jiraiya and all of that. So, yeah, that's actually very... It's a really pivotal part to set up Shippuden in general. And that is a really, really good fight. Because that's the first time we've really got a full-on Sasuke and Naruto fight. Which is really dope. Junior, what is your favorite moment?
My favorite moment... After a lot of thought... It's got to be when the Kages showed up at the end of the war,
mm-hmm.
after Kabuto summoned them. Or not Kabuto, Orochimaru, my bad. Up until this point, like, Sasuke's been hell-bent on trying to fight Itachi. And then once he found out, like, why Itachi did what he did or whatever, he decided to direct his anger towards the village. And in his quest to try to, you know, destroy the village and all that, he comes across Danzo and everybody. He starts getting more and more information, and he starts fucking with his mind as to what really happened, like what was the real story behind everything that was going on. So he then, I can't remember if he resurrected Orochimaru or if Orochimaru was always a part of him, like inside because of the curse mark, but somehow he's able to get Orochimaru to come back out and have him summon the four previous Hokages, the four, you know, that were, you know, the leaders of the village before Tsunade, and he wants information. So he starts asking, you know, Tobirama, he starts asking Minato, he starts, you know, Sarutobi, and I keep forgetting the first Hokage's name, but he asks all four of them, like, what being a ninja is, what does it mean to protect the village, things like that or whatever, because he's trying to figure out his emotions. He's trying to figure out what to do with his anger. If he should go after the village, if he should try to protect the village, if he should just forget about the village, whatever. And I think it was Sarutobi that finally told him the entire truth of what was going on, is that Itachi, ever since he was a kid, was like really perceptive as to his surroundings, as to what was going on and things like that. So when his the whole entire clan was starting to, you know, stage a revolt, a coup, you know, over the village. He wanted nothing, you know, to be a part of it or whatever. Instead, he sided with the village itself, and it eventually came to the point where he killed the whole entire clan. Sasuke, you know, found out, you know, at that point that Itachi was the one responsible. But then now that he's talking to Sarutobi and everybody resurrected, he finds out that, you know, it was to prevent the coup. It was to keep the village safe.
Hmm.
And Sasuke, you know, kind of has that, like, aha moment, like, okay, everything's, you know, starting to fall into place, you know, things like that. However, that's not the way I would have done things. I would have, you know, killed the source or whatever before it ever, you know, even began to have a deal or whatever. So then he decides, like, you know what? All of us are going to go and we're going to help, you know, win this war so that I can become the Hokage and do things my way type of deal. At this point in the war, everybody is getting their fucking shit kicked in by Madara and Obito. I mean, they're on the, it's a fucking Iron Man match, you know, like a wrestling type deal, and the score is 20-0 at this point. So they're all fucking beat up. They're all trying to get back together. Sakura's trying to fucking heal everybody to the best of her abilities or whatever at this point. Her mentor was Tsunade, so, you know, she's a good healer, but she hasn't really fully unlocked the thousand healing, it's called, at this point. So she's trying. All the medic ninjas are trying everything.
So, yeah, she's really focused on Naruto at that point.
Yeah, exactly, because Naruto was, you know, he got the worst of it. He was, you know, he took the brunt of all the attacks that were going on. So when you think, like, everybody's down and out, all of a fucking sudden, like, one of the very first openings of Naruto starts playing, and you can feel the hype coming. All fucking four Hokages show up on the fucking ridge in the order of which they were first Hokages. So you got the first on the far left, you got the second next to him, you got Sarutobi, the third Hokage, and then you got Minato, the fourth. They're all just standing there like, yeah, we're here, what's up? Like, God, like, I've never jumped out of my seat so fucking fast before. That was one of the hypest moments for me.
Yeah, Minato landing and getting rid of the bomb with his teleportation jutsu that he has. And, yeah, it is pretty fucking sweet. And then they all show up, and then Sasuke follows suit. And it's like, right after that, when Sasuke's like, I'm here because I want to be the Hokage, and everyone's like, what? It's like, what? Yeah, oh, yeah, Kiba, man. Dude really wanted to be Hokage real bad. But yeah, that is a really, really hyped moment of all the Kage coming back. I thought that was such a good, so cool too, like how, you know, they kind of wrote it in there, Orochimaru saying, okay, well, I brought them back, but I brought them back in a way where, like, he didn't have control of them. They got to do whatever they wanted. I'm like, mm-hmm. Oh, we're going to see some shit. Like, there's a reason they did it this way for something. And we did, and that was so cool. All the moments you got out of that, of each Hokage, like, doing something, was really cool. Really, really cool. I also like that they chose to highlight the first, the second, the fourth Hokage more than Sarutobi, because we already saw Sarutobi. Like, we already saw him do his shit. And then, so that was pretty dope. Let's do overall thoughts on the show. Junior, I'll start with you.
Well, first off, what was your favorite moment?
Oh, yeah, duh. My favorite moment is Naruto showing up to fight Pain. It is fucking sweet. He does the almighty push, just blows the fuck up out of the Leaf Village. Everyone's getting their ass beat. Just absolutely, everyone's getting their shit kicked in.
Well, everybody's pretty much dead, if you think about it.
Yeah, they're pretty much dead. Kakashi at that point in time is dead. Tsunade's doing everything she can, but she's pretty much worn out. And then Sakura cries out for Naruto, and it's just the coolest fucking landing I've ever seen. Like, he lands with the toads, he's in the fucking sage garments, he's got the little scroll on his back, and it pans around and it shows his eyes, and they're in sage mode, and it's just the coolest fucking entrance to, like, a war. Like, that was so cool, because in that moment you're like, oh, he's here to lay some pipe. Like, he's gonna fuck some shit up. And that is also, like, that fight in general with Pain is so good. You know, then Hinata tries to get involved, and she gets her shit thrown around. So then Naruto goes crazy in his Nine Tails mode, which then allows him to meet his dad. And, like, that's just such a cool thing. But, yeah, him showing up to that fight, to me, It's just one of the coolest things. It's just such a cool entrance. The shot, the camera shot, how they do it, and how it pans to his eyes. Like, I just thought all that was really cool. So, yeah, him showing up to fight Pain is my my favorite moment of the show.
How do you feel about the animation during the fight?
That's another thing, too, that I really liked. Like, I really did enjoy it. I don't think it's the best, because my favorite animation during the fight to right now still is the final Sasuke and Naruto fight. Like, everything they do. Like, that's really cool. But I do actually really like the fight with Pain. I thought that was really cool. I know, like, there's always that there's that meme of Pain's face where it's, like, super stretched out, and that always makes me laugh. But other than that, like, I thought that was really cool. And, like, the Naruto having to figure out each Pain, like, how to beat each path of Pain, like, I thought that was really dope. So I'm a huge fan.
That's why I was asking, because... with that shot, not just that shot, but like everybody on different like social media platforms or YouTube or whatever, they're like, is this supposed to look like this? Is this bad animation? Were they in a hurry? Or is it just to show like the force of you know, the punches and the speed that they're going and all this stuff? I just wanted to get your two cents on that.
Yeah, I think it looks funny, but I just also at the same time, I kind of am like, I think that's what they were trying to go for at, like, at that time. Like, to me, it's not nearly as egregious as Meliodas. Like, that will always be the one that gets me when we get to bad animation, is the Meliodas just, like, laying on the bed planked. That will always be the one, because I'm like, it's 20, well, at that time, it was probably like 2019, but like, there is no excuse for that type of poor animation at that point in time.
I agree with you. It's definitely different. There's a difference between bad animation and wanting to show, you know, the force behind like motion or like, you know, like hits or something like that. So I agree with you, though.
Yeah, I do agree with that. Yeah, you are correct. It's not poor animation. It's just they took a different route to try and show something. But overall, yeah, those are good. I think obviously all of our moments are really good. There's so many really cool moments in this show. For a show that does have a fuck ton of filler, like, there's still a lot of really good moments. But I do like the three moments that we picked. I was gonna do overall thoughts, but I feel like that should be saved. So let's do favorite jutsu, and I'll start with you, Mike. Your favorite jutsu?
Oh shit! Mine is the Tengai Shenzi. That's the giant fucking meteor Madara does towards the end. It's just so hilarious how he does one, and they take forever to stop it. They're like, "Holy shit!" He's like, "Psych, I got another one waiting for you."
I mean, like Mike said, you know, it takes forever. You got the one of the Kages, Onoki. He's a Tsuchikage. He's using his fucking particle expansion jutsu that he's in, which is pretty much like a dimension-destroying jutsu that he has, where like he is able to create the space either around him or whatever, however big, and it destroys, you know, everything within that space. And he's trying to stop this meteor using that fucking jutsu. He's struggling as hard as he can. Poor fucking 80-year-old grandpa doing the best he can to stop this thing.
And
everybody
he does.
Everybody else that's all weak as fuck, cheering him on. You know, like, they can see progress that he's slowing it down. So they're like, yeah, you got this, go, go, go. His fucking back starts giving out.
Oh, that's the best.
He finally manages to stop it before it just, you know, destroys everything. The whole entire time, Madara, he's just standing there at the ridge watching all this with his arms crossed. He finally sees that Onoki stops and he's like, oh, good job. What are you gonna do about the second one, though? The camera zooms out on the second one that comes down. Hits the first one on the top. And you can see in the animation, fucking Onoki's back just completely breaks and his eyes just go wide open like, I'm dead.
Yeah.
That's my favorite. That's my favorite just because of the comedy behind it. It's so fucking hilarious. My second favorite, though, is the eight gates. For Guy and Rock Lee, those are fucking so cool, man. The all-out transformations.
How dope was it when he released the final eighth gate against Madara?
Yeah, dude, it just I mean, that's a death sentence pretty much, but it's such a great fucking visually. It's so good.
He's called the Gate of Death, I would imagine.
Yeah, it's like towards the end, he's just like, once he uses it up, he's like a charred piece of fucking leftover human. It's so good.
I mean, the fucking chakra was burning so much, or overpowered so much, that it was burning him from the inside out.
Yeah.
And fucking crazy. And every fucking guy, Mike guy, he's a taijutsu user. He's able to use some ninjutsu and things like that, but his forte is taijutsu. Every time he opens up one of the gates, you know, the gate of life, the gate of breath, whatever, his taijutsu gets stronger and stronger each gate that he opens. And it gets to the point where that last gate that Mike was mentioning is the Gate of Death. Each punch and each kick is so powerful, with so much force behind it, that it starts breaking his bones.
Yeah.
So he knows he's only got essentially he's only got four, either two punches or two kicks in him. He knows that.
Right.
Yeah. It's so much power inside of him. It's literally ripping his fucking muscle tendons and bones and everything from the inside just apart. Just and then how much force he's producing.
The fucking punch he ends up throwing against Madara, the very first one that like sets up, you know, how powerful everything is. His fucking chakra turns into a fucking tiger. And it's not like just like a slow-mo tiger coming at him. I mean, this thing is coming at him at full force, like 80, 90, 100 miles an hour type of deal. And it's just fucking nothing but killing intent behind that thing. And at the same time, you see the animation of his forearm breaking while he's trying to throw that thing. It's like, holy fuck. And then
it was one for all before there was one for all.
Oh, yeah, right?
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. And then when he does that fucking flying kick, and you got to see the fucking dragon behind, like, a red fucking dragon. It's like, holy fuck, man.
I also, one of my favorite parts about that with his eighth gate is, when he's done and he's just laying there, like Mike said, like a burnt piece of human, Naruto shows up, and at that point he's already talked to the six paths and he gets the power and he puts the little like ball inside of him so he could heal himself. But when Madara shoots one of those little black balls, and Naruto, not even powered up, just the fucking kicks it away. I mean, okay. Like, this man is so, like, in the zone. But yeah, then that whole fight, like, that's just such a good fight. Like, Madara basically gives a lot of respect to Gai Sensei at that point. And he's like, you are the best taijutsu user I've ever seen. Like, this man was out here throwing hands.
Well, that goes back to when I was saying, you know, with the title, the legendary signing, you know, he was bestowed as, you know, the greatest taijutsu user ever, you know, because Madara was giving him that title. It's like, God damn, man.
It is. Both of those really good, Mike. Those are really good ones for different reasons. For different reasons. Junior, what are your favorite jutsus?
Well, first jutsu has got to be the Susanoo. That's an Uchiha, you know, jutsu. And pretty much the only way you're able to use it is if you're able to unlock one of the final forms of your Sharingan, which is the Mangekyou Sharingan. And that enables you to pretty much manifest all the chakra that you have and just make a body armor out of it. Like, whether it's a skeleton or if it's a flesh and, you know, flesh and bone, or a full-on type of, like, humanoid. And what I love about the Susanoo is the fact that each member of the Uchiha that's able to use it has a different version of it. You know, you got Madara's Susanoo, which is pretty much the four swords. You got Itachi's, which is more based on feeling, where he's got that gourd. You got Sasuke's, which has the two swords, but he's able to, like, move around, like, a lot faster and everything. And then Kakashi's, you didn't see too much of his, but his was kind of like a combination of Itachi's and Sasuke's. So it was just really interesting how each personality was able to be portrayed onto that jutsu itself. And then the second jutsu, that one of my favorites, and I was really thinking about this one. It was a tie between either Shadow Stitching or this one, which is the Rasen Shuriken, which is Naruto's jutsu. He's able to take the Rasengan, but then he's able to put wind nature to it, which forms this giant ass fucking shuriken around it. And then he's able to, everybody thinks that he's like able to like throw it and be able to control it, but it's like a one shot. He's able to just Hail Mary this fucking thing. Mm-hmm. And then if it hits, it hits. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
He Big Bends the fuck out of it, bro.
Yeah, exactly. And what I like about it is that the first time he uses it, you can see so much force behind it. It hits the guy, the, what was his name?
Kakuzu,
there we go, yeah. You know, it hits him, and you can see in the animation how he just kind of like gets frozen in place for like a split second. And then all of a sudden, everything just hits him. You know, like just, it's kind of like in those other shows where you just see like a bunch of like sword slashes on the person, and then he ends up dying. It's essentially what happens, but as I was explaining to Ryan in the pre-show, is that all of this is happening inside of his body, because he's pretty much, Naruto's pretty much forcing his chakra into him with the Rasengan, but then with the wind nature, tearing everything apart inside of him. So all his muscles, all his tendons, all the chakra, everything. So when he hits the floor, you can just see him just there motionless, because first off, he destroyed all the hearts that he had, you know, in his possession that kept him alive or immortal. And then it just destroyed the rest of his organs and everything inside of him. But then, like I said, with the force that it had to use, the amount of chakra he had to use, Naruto actually ended up destroying his whole entire right arm doing that. Because all the, like I want to say, the backlash of the wind nature that he didn't have 100% control of just completely went right through all his nerves and destroyed all of his chakra points inside his right arm. Mm-hmm. Only reason why he was able to still continue using jutsus and everything is because of Tsunade. Tsunade, knowing exactly what happened and, you know, being, you know, used to that type of deal, you know, happening before, she was able to, you know, get to him before it got too late.
Yeah, because I always wondered if they were going to do more with that. They didn't. They were able to just fix it and be like, that's it. He can keep using it. It's cool now. Don't worry about it. Yeah. His arm's going to be fine. I was like, oh, okay. All right. They made that out to be like, that was going to be a big deal, and then it wasn't. But that's okay. Yeah, I do like the shuriken one. That one's really cool. For me, like, my favorite is the Rasengan, just because I think it's so dope, and it's so compact, and it's just like, bam! Like, there's so much force when they shove it into somebody like that. Like, it's so dope. For me, what really sold me on it was the fight between Minato and Obito when he attacks the village, and Minato uses his kunai and is able to teleport right behind him and smash the shit out of him with it. Cool as fuck. It was like, I was like, all right, yeah, Rasengan's dope. So that one's mine. Kamui, I just think that's one of the really cool benefits of the Uchiha eyes, and being able to like teleport things into that different dimension. Like, I think that's dope. So I always like the Kamui. And obviously the greatest jutsu, bro, in the whole Naruto universe, talk no jutsu, dog. It is the best. Naruto literally can solve anything with some talk no jutsu.
God damn it.
It's true. He couldn't get it with Madara, though. He couldn't get Madara. But he, man, he got Obito. He got Nagato. Like, him and Itachi were talking, bro. Like, that's just what they do, man. It's what he does. He was like, I don't want to hurt nobody. Let me just talk to you for a second, bro. Let's just work this out.
Hey, Pain, we cool, though, right?
We cool. Like, I know you just killed my sensei and all that, but, like, we cool, right? Like, we cool.
All right, I guess you talked me into it. I'm a good guy now.
All right, let me heal everybody. No problem. I'll bring him back to life.
That was one of the things where you fucking, like, just talked to Nagato into just leaving the village and resurrecting everybody. Dude. Like, oh, okay. Like, that jutsu's gonna work? Okay, cool.
Yeah, that's such a weird thing.
My favorite Rasengan was when they're, like, bitching around and they're about to clash the Rasengan with the, what the fuck's the other one called?
Chidori,
yeah. And just how he hits the water tower.
Mm-hmm.
Because of Kakashi. And then it gets just, like, a little scratch, and Sasuke's, like, laughing and whatever. Like, the camera, the pans to the back of the tank, and it's just fucking blown to shit from the back.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, oh, fuck. And, like, and that part of it, what's so crazy about that is, like, when Sasuke sees that, that really, really, in a way, is what motivates him to leave. because he was like, oh my god, like this fucking
this
kid
is in another level now.
Like, he's like, how?
The thing is, like, ever since the Academy days, he was like the number one, you know, Genning or whatever. And then here comes Naruto or whatever.
Class clown.
The class clown putting in, you know, actual effort and slowly starts catching up. And then Sasuke, he's putting in some of the effort or whatever, but he's not seeing any results, any progress in his training and everything. So then, like, you know, you said when they have that, you know, fight or that, you know, tuft or whatever the fuck you want to call it that happened, and he sees how strong Naruto has gotten to that point, it's like, fuck, like, I've got to take drastic measures if I want to beat this kid, if I want to be, you know, the strongest, if I want to be the one, you know, that everybody recognizes as the number one. And then afterwards is when you start finding out, you know, that the whole reason why he wants to be the strongest is so that he could go after Itachi.
Yes.
But that is a really good way to set up the power difference between the two.
Also, Kakashi, dope as fuck for just jumping in there and throwing him to the side, because Sakura was about to get her shit fucking rocked, too, for running in there.
She's like, no, you guys, I don't want you to fight. Throwing herself in the middle, it's like, bitch, do you see what's going on? Like, the dude's got a fucking big-ass, massive ball of wind in his hand. The other dude's got lightning coming out of his fingertips. And you're going to jump in to try to stop him.
And that's another...
He just puts to the middle, he's like, I got this.
And he whips him to the side. What's so cool that Kakashi... And what I love so much about Kakashi is that his thing, what we find out, is that he's always there at the right time. Always. There's that moment. There's the moment where Naruto, when he's just like exhausted, and he goes to fall like out of the trees, and Kakashi shows up and catches him on his back. And like all those cool things. I think he does something like that in Boruto too. I just haven't seen it yet. That was super dope. Super dope. But yeah, that's a really good Rasengan. That was super dope. I love that spot, because Sasuke's just like, motherfucker, dude. Like, he's like, where'd this little bitch learn this, bro?
Yep.
Out here clapping cheeks.
And that's the one good thing that I like about the show, is that it doesn't just have all these fucking, like, shonen moments or whatever, where it's like just, you know, badass power-ups or whatever, is that there's episodes or there's other moments that lead up to this moment. You know, it really sets the stage of what's gonna happen or what's really happening. Even some of the filler episodes have that, you know, going for them. Is they set everything up, you know, for what's gonna happen later on.
Yeah, it's a good point, because I watched all of it. Watched it all seven. I think it's like 700 episodes from Naruto Shippuden, from Naruto through Naruto Shippuden, and that is with filler. And like, there are some towards the end where I'm like, okay, this filler did not need to be here. Like, it's okay, we don't need to do this, it's fine. Like, we're in the middle of the fucking ninja war and you want to give me a filler for no reason. Some of it though, like you said, a lot of it honestly is really good, especially in original Naruto, of setting things up and like explaining where things are gonna go. And I do like that about it. But I'm gonna start with you here on this first, Junior. What didn't you like about Naruto besides them killing all your characters?
I mean, that is one of the biggest things that I talked about. I guess it would have to be the fillers themselves. Because, yes, I mean, I know I did just praise some of the fillers, you know, for setting up the show and, you know, explaining what's going on or whatever. But then, just like every show that has this many episodes going on for it, there's going to be fillers that just make no sense. Or they do make sense, but there's no reason for them to be in the show. Like, you got episodes of them celebrating some kid, random kid's birthday, or saving some random dog or cat or something like that. And it's like, you know what, we can do without this. You know, like, if you're going to give us a filler, you know, show us something of, like, somebody's past, or, you know, like, set up, like, a premonition of what's going to happen in the future type of deal. I don't need to see fucking Naruto spending half an hour walking his, you know, the grandma across the road. You know, and trying to like protect her from fucking traffic or something. You know, but yeah, for me, it's got to be the fillers.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah, I get what you're saying. Yeah, there are. You're correct. There are some fillers like that. You're like, all right then. Okay. Or like, well, isn't there an episode where there's a filler of Rock Lee's going to like, and they're going somewhere, and they just have to get this really hot chili? I think that's part of it too. Like a hot, really hot dish. Yeah. Or curry. It's curry. Mike, what was something you don't like about, or you didn't like about Naruto?
I agree with Junior. The pointless filler. Mm-hmm. Also, where it's placed at, like in the war arc, like we didn't need that.
Yeah, you're. That's the best part. Is that like I said, it makes zero sense to have certain. I understand. I won't classify these as fillers, but the ones where they're explaining the six paths and they're giving you that story about the six paths and his brother and like his kids.
That went on for too long.
It did go on for too long, but I understood why they put it in the position that they put it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they wanted to explain it to you who the fuck they are. I get that, but it did go on too long. But then there's other times where, like, after... Boy, what is that fight? There's a fight towards the end, like as we're ramping up, and it is like 30 episodes in a row or more of filler, of like all different stories about like Guy Sensei's team when they were younger. Like that's the one Junior where you found that fight with Rock Lee and that one guy that was with Gaara. Like, why did we place that there? That made zero sense to have that in that spot.
Yeah. It was a flashback to like when everybody was becoming a Jonin, because if you think about it, Shikamaru and Neji, they were the first Jonins out of the core group. You know, they were the first ones to essentially go to the next level. So then you knew everybody else had to, you know, become a Jonin at some point. And I agree with you. Like, why did they put that arc in the like right before, or it wasn't right before, it was like a little after the war? It's like, well, we're well past that point already. We kind of figured that they're already Jonins.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's cool that we get to see how they became Jonins, but it would have been better if they placed that before the war, you know, so that we knew already that they're Jonins.
That should have been somewhere before the war, or like even before Naruto's going out and like doing all this shit. Like, even honestly, God, you probably could have put it there after Naruto got back. And then before he's like, or on his way to the sand village to help Gaara, like you could have put him there. Like if you want to throw some in, like that one will always piss me off. Cause I'm like, we are in the middle of war. Like this,
they're like,
it's getting to the end, bro. Like it's hyping up and they're like, hold on, 30 episodes of filler. And you're like, motherfucker, dude.
They come back to it. It's like, oh yeah, we were in the middle of this.
Oh man. It is some of the most frustrating shit. At that point, I just never understand it. I get so upset when it happens. I'm like, bro, come on, man.
Also, not Naruto, but but Boruto. How they did everyone I liked fucking just dirty, so bad.
Oh yeah, I can't speak on that 100% because I haven't watched Boruto yet. But from what I've heard, yes, they do them pretty dirty.
There's characters that you actually kind of like or whatever. The animation that they use for them or the design they use for them, it's gonna piss you off.
My dude Gaara.
Anko.
Kakashi, oh no, Tsunade. It's so bad. So I save all my criticism for Boruto instead of Naruto.
Oh, okay, yeah. Now as I'm looking at it, yeah, I mean from like episode, see, okay, this is where the placement happens. He Madara initiates the Infinite Tsukuyomi. So they all go into this dream world. So that's where they decide to put a fuck ton of filler in there, is to show like everybody's different dreams. Like the one part that I mean, it's cool, like it's fun and it's something weird to think about. But it's Naruto's, like if his parents didn't die and like that gets thrown in there, and then like him and Sasuke are fighting in that way, and like that's all really cool. I get it, but there was just too much of it, bro. Just too much. So like, what I didn't like about the show. I'm going to go with that. I'm going to go with the placement more or less, more than anything. It's not the fact that there is so much filler. Like, I think we talked about this on the last Weebisode we were talking about, because I love Sailor Moon, and literally, like, 50% of that show is filler, and that's okay to me. So, like, it is what it is, but it definitely is the placement. Like, there's times where you're like, I'm in the middle of something. It's, like, the most blue balls thing you could possibly do. At certain moments, you're like, oh, here we go. They're going to fuck some shit up. And they're like, hold on. Fucking filler. Just like filler jutsu all over the place. And I'm like, all right, bro. All right. So that'll probably be one of my biggest things that I don't like about it. Other than that, man, like, it's really hard for me to knock Naruto, specifically Shippuden. Shippuden does such a great job. They have really great fights. It's fun to be able to get to a point where they're older. and to see how that grows. Some of the they had so many good moments in it as well. Like, we didn't talk about this, but when Shikamaru has to avenge Asuma, and like how fucking cool that is, where he has the lighter and he like goes to light the light and it's Asuma's ghost right there, like lighting the cigarette. Mm-hmm. Super good moments like that. When Jiraiya dies and Jiraiya, it's his spirit touching Naruto, and Naruto's like, what the fuck? Like, there's just so many. There's so many. Itachi's reanimation death when he tells Sasuke Hill he's always loves him, and I'm like, oh, all right, now I'm sad. I'm like, oh, okay, here's the tears. Like, that's super sad. Junior, I'll start with you here. Overall thoughts on the show?
I mean, I love the show. It easily got to be one of my top three favorite shows. I love the storylines that they have with it. I love how they go into detail with a lot of the characters, with their backgrounds and everything, how they have their conflicts with everybody and shit like that. I love the animation. I mean, to me, it's an overall kick-ass show. I love it.
Mike?
Same. I feel like all show I have been agreeing with Junior, and I'm going to agree with him on this one, too. I'm not going to place it at third for my best show, but if you like shonen, for its time, it was one of the great big shonens out there, and it's definitely it's one of those where you don't have to be super in anime. I would even say it's a beginner anime.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to get into the genre, and you like kick ass like like Dragon Ball Z or Bleach style power ups and fights and stuff, this is definitely one of the better ones. And if you haven't seen it, and you don't mind putting up with maybe a little bit of a filler here and there, definitely one to check out if you dig shonens or you want to get into the shonen genre.
100%. It's one that I really want Dan to like push through, because like I know, I guess, like I tell him, I know there's filler, but like it's all, he's still in regular Naruto, so like there's not that much filler. Like, you can dig through that. Because I do think this show is something that actually ages really well too. Like, it's not that old, you know what I mean? So the fight scenes and the animation are actually still really good. I mean, yeah, you're gonna get that weird fight with Pain like we talked about, but other than that, like, there's so many great things about this show, and the stories that they tell, and this story of Naruto starting from just the very bottom and like being a trouble kid and like just, you know, I'm gonna be the Hokage and I'm a little bitch, like that's all I ever got the vibes from Naruto. And then what he develops into, and it's just really great. I think it's really good storytelling from beginning to end. Now, Junior, you said it ranks in your top three.
Yeah.
Mike, where do you rank this among your top anime?
Top anime, I would probably put it at around 15.
Okay.
15, maybe a little lower. Top shonen anime, I would say it's up there, like maybe 4 or 5.
Okay.
And to your point, it's definitely day and night. Naruto to Shippuden.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to get into Shippuden, you got to put up with Naruto. And I say put up because it's not that great of a show. It's got some great fights in it. Gaara v. Lee. That's the only one I could think about.
Well, you said the Sasuke versus Naruto fight. That was your
Wasn't
favorite.
Wasn't that in Shippuden, though?
No, that's the end of Naruto.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. It is the mm-hmm. end of it. You're my bad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's more of a you got to put up with it. It's here and there. But it's definitely day and night between Shippuden gets way better, and I would rank it 4 or 5 in shonen talks.
I think overall for me, where I would rank it, I was thinking about this during the week, and I want to say I'm gonna put it around fifth or sixth for me of all my favorite animes. It's just like I said. One, it was such a fulfilling journey of 700 episodes for me to go through from the beginning of Naruto through Shippuden, and like within the year, and then for me to do that, I was like, oh man, this is great. And I got very connected to the story, very connected to a lot of characters, and I ultimately really love this show a lot. It's got a little bit of everything. It's got really great storytelling, it's got really good fight scenes, it's got Tsunade, so like, what up? So I think overall, I would put it probably around fifth or sixth for me. And before we wrap the show up, I do want to ask, I'm gonna start with you, Junior. What is the character or characters you wish got more moments to shine?
That is a real good question. Probably Shikamaru. I mean, he has his moments, you know, that really set him up as, you know, one of the better characters out of the whole entire group. But I feel like they did that, like, as far as, like, pushing the story forward. Like, he had to have those big moments. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, you got the fight where he avenges Asuma. He's got the fights where he fights one of the fucking guards, the Orochimaru's guards or whatever, when they were trying to, you know, bring back Sasuke. But I feel like he has, like, such a personality to him that everybody kind of relates to, that they kind of, like, should have put more effort into storytelling, like, a little bit more background of his nature and shit, the way they did with, like, other characters like Sakura or, you know, Kakashi, things like that. I feel like he was such an underwhelming character up until, like, the later parts of Naruto and Shippuden.
Shikamaru. Mike, do you have a character you wish got more time to shine?
Yeah. Now, this is going to be a two-parter. It's going to be a two-for-one. I'm going to say Rock Lee and Gaisen.
Oh.
Just because I wish they did more with them. Like we said, he opened up the eighth gate and he was going all out, like, as we have seen him. The strongest we've seen him, the fastest we've seen him, the everything we've seen him. Just all fucking out. This was his Super Saiyan moment, if it was Dragon Ball. Mm-hmm. And like you said, Madara shoots one of those black ball thingies. Naruto just kicks it away. If you step back, yeah, we saw this giant fucking show, this fight, you know, beautifully animated and and impactful. And if you step back, it's like, you really did nothing but get your ass kicked. It's like Lord Boros in One Punch Man, how he kicks Saitama all the way to the fucking moon, and they got this giant fucking fight going on. There's colors and it's vibrant and it's epic. It's fucking epic, dude. There's one way to describe it. It's epic. But at the end, it's like you look at the whole picture and it's like, you really did nothing but get your ass kicked.
Yeah, I see what you're saying there. Yeah.
Sadly, that's literally, yeah, you were flashy, but you were flashy while getting your ass kicked. You did nothing. Mm. Literally nothing. And that's what pisses me off. They should have done a whole lot to show that, yeah, these guys are masters of taijutsu and they are fucking strong. They're some of the strongest ninjas in the village. But no. Naruto just kicks that fucking ball away like, eh, whatever.
Well, yeah.
Dude lying right here dead on the ground, fucking burning. Eh.
He did.
Your ass kicked, dude.
He did heal him, though. He did heal him, though. He did heal him.
You looked fucking cool. I'm not going to lie. But you were a fucking train wreck. You did nothing.
Yeah.
Man, you're barbecue now.
I guess with that, yeah, I get what you're saying. It's like he gets that moment, and it's literally such a fucking cool moment. It's one of the best fights.
It's his moment. It's his Super Saiyan moment. But he gets no power up compared to the fucking what they're phasing up against. They just go out of their way to show you how weak they really are.
Yeah, I would. I mean, I guess for me, it's like they do give him that really cool moment. It just goes to show how strong Madara, like, at that point really, really is. At that point, he's already the Ten Tails Chinchuriki. Like, he's OP as shit.
But in showing that, I get it. He's strong. But in showing that, they show you how weak Guy is. And that's where I'm like, nah, they should have done him better. Mm. Also, another character who should have gotten more is Killer B. He's one of my... He was right there to make it to my top three. He's so fucking cool. And they should have just used him more. He should have done a lot more.
So Rock Lee, yeah, and I definitely agree with Rock Lee. And what's so funny is Rock Lee, right? It's always he only knows taijutsu, and then the first what would you call it, non taijutsu move he ever uses is actually a Rasengan. I don't know if you guys ever thought about that, because yeah. Naruto, when he's in the he's with in the Nine Tails mode that he's in, chakra mode, he's with Sasuke, he gives each one of them his Nine Tails chakra and a Rasengan, and they're all do the Rasengan bomb on Obito. It's actually really fucking cool, because I never thought about that Rock Lee got to do one. I thought that was really dope. By character that I wish would have gotten more moments to shine is Neji, bro. Like, we didn't talk about Neji at all this whole episode, because to me, when I watched Neji die, I sat there. I remember I was watching it. I sat up out of my chair and I said, "That's the most useless death I've ever fucking seen in this show." I was like,
I agree with you. Me and Max always fight about this,
dude. I'm not saying I disagree. I am not. I 100% agree. It was pretty useless. My problem with it, with Mike, I should say, is who would you replace? Who would make sense? I mean, you obviously can't put Tenten in there. That doesn't make any sense at all.
No, I understand that point.
Would it make sense?
Yes.
Who would you replace?
My question is. That's a good point.
If there's nobody to replace, don't kill anybody. That was a wasted death. That was useless. They tried to have a moment where they're like, okay, then here's this death. It's going to be a gun punch. But you're like, okay, you killed a character that I feel nothing to. Cool.
It's sad, but it's not devastating.
It's not devastating, like if you compare it to Itachi or Jiraiya.
Well, it's not even. I'll even go a step further. I'll actually say it wasn't as impactful as when Kakashi's fighting Pain and Kakashi, quote unquote, is dead. That is a moment where you're sitting there and you're like, oh my god, no. Kakashi cannot die. Like, Neji dies and you're like, why? And I understand.
We both did it.
I understand, like, going back and like looking at it and understanding what it was meant to do. Junior made a great point when we talked about this before, after I finished Shippuden, that they had to kill somebody. Like, somebody had to die in the war. If you would have done an entire Great Ninja War arc and no character that you know of died, it would have been dumb. Like, you had to kill somebody, and I understand that. I would have been okay with Neji dying if, like, it just felt like there was more of a buildup. Okay, like, for instance, when Asuma dies, there's a really good buildup with Asuma, and then he dies, and you're like, oh, shit. You know, Jiraiya and Itachi, like, we already know, those are big player characters. Like, so they were already given their moments. Neji, you got a fucking moment with him being an asshole in the Chunin exams, and then Naruto fucks him up, and that changes him. You get him in the Sasuke retrieval arc at the end of Naruto. He has a really cool moment there, super dope. All of Shippuden, bro, those teams, and that, honestly, was going to be my whole big thing anyway of this show, is that what they did was, okay, Team 7, obviously, that's the main team. I understand that. They're going to be the time to shine. You have the main character, Naruto's on that team. You have Kakashi, Sakura, Sasuke at one point, and then Sai. Like, I get that. And then you give Team 10, Asuma's team. They all get their moments. What do the other other teams do? Honestly. That entire time. Like, Kiba's team with Hinata and all them, they don't really get to do much because Koronai has a baby and she's pregnant, so, like, she's kind of done, right? But she's done, so they don't really do much. You get then Guy's team with Tenten, Neji, and Rock. Like, they just don't really do as much anymore. They did such a really good job in regular Naruto after Sasuke, like, leaves and all that, and, like, all that starting to go on, of, like, showing off the different teams and different members of the teams. They got to Shippuden, and they were like, I know we have, like, almost triple the episodes, but we're not going to show you the rest of these teams as much. Like, we're going to really hunker down.
Filler.
Yeah, they're going to hunker down on some filler to show you them and stuff like that. And I do agree. Like, that, I wish Neji would have got more time. I'm okay with Neji dying. There's no problem with that. When you really think about it, like, who are they going to kill? It probably had to be Neji. I mean, unless you wanted to kill Rock, and if you would have killed Rock Lee, and that's what causes Guy to launch the 8 gates, okay, maybe then. Then I can write that off. Tenten, that just would have been really dumb. It would have been very useless. You would have had no connection whatsoever.
No, nobody would have cared. It was like, well, okay, rip, but so what?
I mean, nobody cared about Neji.
And, like, if they were going to kill Rock Lee off, obviously it wouldn't have been him trying to, rescue Naruto and Hinata, because Naruto and... Or Hinata, I should say, got hurt really bad. Naruto got hurt. Hinata went to go save him. And then that's when Obito threw the rod to kill both of them. you know. And then, like I said, if they were going to go down that route, nobody else would have made sense other than Neji.
Yeah, it was all built upon the idea of, okay, we're going to kill Neji because it's going to further along Naruto and Hinata. And, like, to get us to that point. I just, like I said, I'm okay with Neji being the one that died. I just would have liked more of a build-up to Neji dying. Mm-hmm. That's all. Like, they did for every other character. Every other major death in the show, they build it up.
Yeah, and to my point is that if they were going to kill off, you know, like, Rock Lee or Tenten, they would have had to have done, like, something different with the story in order to kill them off.
Because
having them, you know, die protecting them too just would not have made any sense.
The reason it makes sense for Neji to be the one to die in that sport, as like I said, is because it has Hinata there. If Hinata's not there, it really doesn't make any sense at all. So it is stupid. It's just like one of those where I'm like, okay, this could have been done better. So I'll chalk that up to another thing I didn't like. But yeah, Neji should have got more time. He's such a strong ninja that they just don't utilize enough. And that is something I did notice a lot through Shippuden, is they started to have a really hard time figuring out, okay, like, who do we do? I mean, listen, the fourth Great Ninja War is, like, almost, like, 250 episodes long. Like, it's a very long war. Yeah. It only takes place in, like, 2 days, but it's, like, a super long fucking war, episode-wise. So, all that time, and they're like, no. No.
How fucking epic was when Madara first reincarnated and just took out, like, fucking 3
or 5
all by himself.
Yep, he's just wiping them out.
God.
They also, the flex of him being like, dude, you want the Shadow Clones to have Susanoo too? And I'm like, bruh, bruh, this is nuts. But yeah, I think, for me, it's Neji. Should have got more time to shine. I think that would have been better. And then that death isn't as pointless as it seems, because it is pretty pointless. Anything else on Naruto before we wrap this up?
No. I would say, like, what would be one of the fights that you feel is underappreciated or they could have done more with?
Underappreciated?
Like, yeah, like, for me, it's got to be that fight between fucking Lee and I forget what the fuck the other guy is. Like, Sora?
From the filler episode?
Yeah. Like, I would have loved if they, you know, had that fight go on more than what it did. It was such a good opportunity to see other people compared to Lee or Might as, like, Taijutsu users. And for him to have his own version of the Eight Gates and fight par, you know, hand-to-hand on par with fucking Lee. That to me had to be one of the better fights ever.
I'm going to say the one for me that is underappreciated, and it's only because Sakura's in it, is the fight with Sasori and Sakura and Granny Chiyo.
Yeah.
Because that fight is actually a really, really good fight. And, like, the things Sakura does in that fight also are very cool. And it's just because it's Sakura that people are like, fuck him. That's always something that always makes me laugh, too. Like, oh, she's Basura. Yeah, and I'm like, all right. I mean, she's not the best. And that's another big thing, too. I wish, when you talk about characters getting moments to shine, like, I honestly think I wish they would have made Sakura feel more useful. Like, that's, you know what I mean? At the end of the day, like, that's on the writer to come up with a way to really show Sakura. And they could have. And she's ungodly strong. Like, stupid, stupid strong. And they don't really show that as much. They showed it in that fight with Sasori. But then after that, it takes a long time for you to see anything Sakura can do. And that's why people call her useless. And I wish they would have done better in that as well. So, for sure, that's the fight, though, that gets me.
Fix her reputation.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Put some respect on Sakura's name, dog. Please. Also, I do want to ask this real quick. I'll start, Mike, real quick. Do you believe... would you have liked Naruto to end up with Sakura or Hinata?
Hinata. Duh.
Okay.
Hinata, 100%.
Okay.
There's no way.
What pisses me off about Sakura is, like, she's like, Naruto, I love you. I loved you all along. It's like, bitch, what?
The audacity of this bitch.
You do not
exactly.
Play that card.
Yeah. I would go with Hinata too, but the Sakura one, I always like to think about that a little bit. I'm like, ooh, that would have been kind of cool too, but that's dope. Their kids wouldn't have been as OP, because then all they would have had would be whatever Naruto's jutsu and his chakra and then her super strength. So it would have been a little bit different. Instead, we're out here with fucking Byakugan and shit.
She had a kid who's an Uchiha. They're supposed to have perfect fucking vision. She had one with glasses.
I get it.
How does that
See, I gotta counter that. I gotta counter that because the whole deal with the Sharingan gun is that the stronger they get, the more deterioration they.
So, like, is she gonna be like really bad though? Because she's already seems like she's off to a bad start.
Yeah, she's off to a bad start. She's gonna go from bad to worse.
She's already exactly because the things like you guys, you know, are saying, you know,
that's Uchiha not a counter.
She has, you know, cancer or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Is the fact that they're already gonna be fucking, you know, on the brink of being useless to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean that's the whole reason why Itachi was dying was because he used up his Sharingan past his limits, past what he could, you know, is able to do.
Right, right.
Wasn't he terminally ill as well? It wasn't just that.
No,
I thought he was.
I don't remember because the whole.
From the point off, it was he was gonna die anyway.
Yes.
So his death, everybody's like, that's everybody's whole argument always on his death is like, well, he was gonna die anyway. Yeah, but the way he did it and the way he, the things he accomplished before he got, you know, wrecked, that's the whole, the story everybody gets.
Yes.
That, like him.
Itachi's death is something where they don't really talk about it a whole lot. Part of it is the deterioration of the Uchiha eye and like everything that comes with that. But there's a other thing too, that he had some type of disease that he didn't know what it was. Which is so crazy to me. Cause it's like if he would have just saw like a healing ninja, maybe they could have fixed that. But he's like, nah, fuck it, bro. I'm like, I'm going out with these ninja aids and calling it a day, dog.
I'm Itachi.
I'm Itachi.
The thing is like, I don't think they even had the concept of having medical ninjas when Itachi was around.
Yeah.
I don't think that became a new thing until Naruto and Sakura were around.
But well, I think that was the thing. I think he was terminally ill.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Not just his.
Yeah, I think it was a combination. I do believe, yes. But yeah, I would definitely say overall, I loved Naruto Shippuden. It was great. Original Naruto was pretty good too. It's like Mike said earlier, it's definitely a good show. If you're trying to get into the genre to jump into, it's a lot. I mean, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of fucking episodes. You know, you'll finish these like 700 total episodes and just jump right in the One Piece and you'll be just fine. Don't worry about it.
I mean, all the big ones, all the big shonens that are like this usually are a lot of episodes. Look at Dragon Ball Z. Look at Bleach. Look at One Piece.
God, yeah, One Piece. Jesus
Christ. If you're talking about a shonen, this is around your average, I would say.
Yeah, 700 total. It is a lot. It is a lot. As always, everybody, thank you for listening. You can find the show on Twitter and Instagram. It's at AM Nation Pod. Make sure you hit that follow button. On YouTube, search Amalgamation Nation and hit that sub button. Podcast platforms of choice, that's where you listen. At Spotify, Google, Apple, etc. The merch link is down below in the podcast description. Just click on there and it'll take you over for Amalgamation Nation merch and Undead Red Bull merch. Go to twitch.tv/UndeadRedBull and follow and sub to David. That's where we stream Tuesdays and Thursdays. Our live episodes record there. As well as David playing throughout the week. He's on his 11th day thus far streaming straight. That man is a trooper. If you have Amazon Prime, you get a free Prime sub a month, so give it to Undead Red Bull. Schedule for the week, Tuesday, 7:30 p.m. Central Time, sports show on over there, and Thursday is the gaming show at 7:30 p.m. Central Time. You'll find it there on twitch.tv/UndeadRedBull, on YouTube, search Amalgamation Nation, and on, like I said, on Twitter, at AM Nation Pod. So make sure you do that. Junior, take us away with the quote from the unmotivated weebs.
Because they saved me from myself, they rescued me from my loneliness. They were the first to accept me for who I am. They are my friends. Naruto Uzumaki.
Y'all. Yeah, y'all stay breezy and believe it.
Each of us lives dependent and bound by our individual knowledge and our awareness. All that is what we call reality. However, both knowledge and awareness are equivocal. One's reality might be another's illusion. We all live inside our own fantasies,